September 8th. Today was a watershed walk for me. I mean literally, in Watershed Park, my local temperate rainforest. It is finally starting to feel different, more familiar, like I was beginning to belong. Not enough so yet that I could reach out and touch the trees, but comfortable enough to think about asking. Maybe next time, or further down the line, that falling in love thing I've written about before. I am by nature both flamboyant on the inside and careful on the outside when it comes to falling in love. And I'm quite different with people, of course, than I am with other living things. With good reason. Most people, in my experience, are relatively tolerant of unconditionally loving gestures. Trust them and like them. No debt to pay, that kind of thing. They are gender neutral, too, which helps. I try to do things like that as often as I can when I see a need, because I know how much such gestures meant to me when I was fallen a few years ago. People are much more guarded in relation to gestures that actually invite a response, have a quid implied in their quo. I've tried since I got here to be cautious about that with people I meet. Not to appear needy, just open, friendly. Whenever any opportunity presents itself, I start a conversation, casual, pleasant, engage. Most often I get a response in kind. That I might indicate in some slight, gentle way that I'm open to more. No one has thus far taken that next step, which is fine with me. I know people here already have full plates, just as they did back in Pittsburgh. I used to have one too, so I know what that means. You might be able to make room on that plate for a few more peas, but not another big chunk of meat. I am a big chunk of meat right now. And besides, I don't really mind being alone. Have been long enough to know what's good about it, not just what's bad. I try to remember Christ's parable about asking, seeking, and knocking. If I see a door here, I knock. Maybe one of these days one of them will open. I will find and receive. But no way I'm just barging in. No one wants that, including me. Falling in love, on the other hand, in a romantic way, with a woman in my case, is fraught with peril, I know. I've only fallen that way 4 times in my life, maybe 5, one's a close call, the first time in the 5th grade, that far back. And every single time it was at first sight. I mean, head over heels at first sight. I always knew, from movies and such, that women were skeptical of, if not outright suspicious of, that kind of manly reaction. So I've tried to hide it. Sort of. Careful. Careful for me, I guess. Which, for most people, is probably not very careful. The only time I didn't get burned was with Carol. She was like me in that regard. Kind of crazy when it came to falling in love. And she had been badly burned herself a few times. Fortunately, neither one of us was fully deterred by our burnings. I'm only saying all this because falling in love with non-human things in the world is so much different. Very few things out there are suspicious, quite often to their disadvantage, I suppose. Think whales and redwoods, for example. They are open, gracious, receptive, or at least not transparently defensive in the ways that people are. Anyway, today I felt as if some of the trees I'm now coming to recognize as individuals were beginning to open up to me. As I've said, my walk in the park is about 1.5 miles. Most days now it takes me over 1 hour to make it. Not because of my knee, which does fine, but because I find myself over and over stopped dead in my tracks, staring slack-jawed at something awesome right before my eyes, or I stop to take a photo. Again, I don't like taking photos, either the process or the artifact. I like what I see to go straight into my head without having to pass through a lens. Well, maybe that's not exactly accurate. Words just happen to be the lens I prefer. They isolate and distort just as much as glass, maybe more so even. But for me, they just work better. Here, though, as I've indicated, my first 2 months left me speechless. I could not move what I saw into and through the assortment of lenses I had in my linguistic bag. I turned to photos as an alternative way of recording, but also as a way of learning, of teaching my eyes how to see what I saw well enough that words might come. Some days, especially early on, I'd take pictures of alien things that were, by my standards, gargantuan, otherworldly. Some days I'd take pictures of familiar things that here happened to be oversized. A giant slug, say, shoving itself across the path, 6 inches of firm muscle, the kind that a few sprinkles of salt, the Eastern treatment for troublesome slugs, wouldn't even dent, let alone deter. Some days I'd take pictures of mottled grottos where light went to abide with shade, there gathering together, there in the depth, inextricably in one another's embrace. Some days I'd take pictures of young things growing on top of dead things, a 6-foot stump of a dead tree festooned with the overhanging roots of an Eastern-sized tree that just happened to sprout on its flat top, dragging water up the steep sides somehow through those thick, stiff arms reaching down to the ground. Some days it was birds, hundreds of them feeding, or fish, thousands of them migrating, or water coming and going in lake loads every 6 hours or so, or sky 5 miles high, or mountains standing guard at the perimeter of space, their great gray shapes, vague outlines on the horizon. Well, you get the picture, literally, I guess. I still take pictures on my walks. One of these days, I'll just stop, I suppose. Words becoming available again. But in keeping with the spirit of these woods, I'm not in any hurry. I really like all this quiet in my head when my eyes look out to sea. And then there's a lot less for you to have to read. Win-win with that, I'd say.